presence of God to be refreshed. It's not an easy day we live in. I doubt that any day has been easy. Every day has had its challenges. But I can tell you, I am thankful for a place to come in where God's love is evident. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for God's goodness. He cares about every detail of our life. He does care. Amen? He cares if the tires are slick to get you safely there. He cares to help us avoid things. And when we can't avoid things, He cares to help us get through things, doesn't He? He's been good, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for God's goodness to me. You pray for me. We're going to go to Philippians, the second chapter this morning. And you pray, even as I reread my notes a couple of times, some things are hard for me to express the way I see in my heart. But you pray, God, give me help this morning that you might receive from God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for each one here this morning. I pray as we look into your word, you'll anoint my mind that your children might receive from your word today. We ask, Lord, that they not just hear the words, but they hear from you, that you would take your word by your spirit to their heart, that they might receive that which you have for them. Help us this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, that we may profit thereby. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a time of apostasy, and I know that's been my theme for a while. But as I pray and meditate, as I prayed yesterday, as I pray today, there are particular dangers that are besetting the children of God in this time of apostasy. And by time of apostasy, I mean we live in a time when our society, our country, and actually to a large extent our world, is moving farther away from a true knowledge of God instead of closer to Him. Most people I know and run into and come in contact with are moving farther away from God than what society was 10, 15, 30 years ago. And it's happening not just out there. It's happening in our circles, in people we fellowshiped with. People are not moving, by and large, closer to God. They're moving farther away. And there's particular dangers in such a time. There's discouragement is a huge danger in such a time. There's going through the motions becomes a huge danger when we become discouraged and we've been in such a time where there's not a lot of pressure pushing us toward being all that we can be for the Lord. There's a lot of religion today, but there's not much really knowing God evident many times. Most people around us have settled for a form of godliness. And by that I mean just some religious routine they go through. They go to church, they try to do good at least to one degree or another. They have some kind of moral code usually, the do's and don'ts. Again, some very strict and some not very strict at all. And then they judge themselves kind of based on how they performed, how they went through the ritual, how they kind of did the do's and don'ts. And that's what they consider to be Christianity. But they too often don't really know God. Amen? No matter how strict or how lenient, too often they don't really know God. They haven't really changed inside. And that's salvation, a real change of heart that comes from the inside out. Being religious won't save you. Do you know that? Being religious really don't profit as much as anything. Amen? Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me, now listen to this, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now this ain't just pagans, folks. These are folks working, preaching, laboring in Christ's name. "And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It's possible to be very religious and yet not make heaven your home. It's possible to be very religious and lost. I want to talk to us this morning about being responsible for your own soul. Amen? In a day and time when we're in apostasy, when many of the normal supports that we have grown accustomed to, being stable and helping support us in our Christian life, may or may not be to the level we wish they were, we are ultimately responsible for our own soul. Now, others may hinder you, others may help you. But when you stand before God, it's going to be about you and Him. Amen? It ain't going to be about everybody else. So they may answer to the hindrance they gave or be rewarded for the help they gave you. But when it's you, when it's me before God, it's me and God. Amen? I'm responsible before God for the condition of my own soul. I'm responsible before God for the destiny of my own soul, what I've chosen in this life. With that in mind, let's read Philippians 2:12. And I say this. I know in the day and time we live in, we can get discouraged and just slip into going through the motions because we are disappointed in the way things turned out, or we don't like what's going on, or we think somehow God could have done better by us. Come on. If we're not careful, we just start going through the motions, or we start showing up because then we think God owes us for what we've done. But that's not real religion, folks. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The phrase that stood out to me is, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're instructed in this passage to work out our own salvation. Now, that doesn't mean come up with your own religion. That doesn't mean, you know, kind of get a smorgasbord and pick and choose what you like. Work out, you know, just kind of make your own sandwich, if you will, religiously. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean with fear and trembling that we're responsible to see this thing through. Amen? We're instructed to work out our own salvation. Now, I know we're saved by grace. It is a gift of God, but salvation is not a thing that we've received. It's a gift, but it's not something that we have and we hold. Amen? Too many people view it that way. It's something that you go get and then you got, right? But salvation's not a gift. The core of salvation is a relationship. Salvation is a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. That's what God desired in the creation of this world. That's what God was working for all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through revealing Himself, is that He could have a real relationship with men and women, boys and girls, right? With human beings. That's what God wanted. And that's the heart of salvation. We're forgiven. We're given this change of heart so that we might have a right relationship with God restored. Amen? Right. This being a Christian is not something we go get and we have. It's coming into right relationship with God and a real relationship. And we're to work out our own salvation. That means we are to develop that relationship with God. That's ours. It's our relationship. Our salvation is uniquely ours. The way I know God is uniquely mine. Amen? Because it's a relationship. My mom's here. I have a relationship with my mom. I love her. She loves me. She's proven that over and over again. I know Mom in a certain way. And it's real. And the love is real. Dad knows Mom in a different way. Amen? A true relationship, but different from mine. True love, but different. Most of you in here know Mom. And most of you love her, I hope. If I detected something different, I'd speak with you. You have a real relationship with her, but it's different. Amen? All of us, in coming to know God, know God of a reality for ourselves. There are things in common in that relationship among all of us, right? We love Him. He forgave us. He died for us. It creates a new heart in us and a desire to please Him, right? It's uniquely our relationship, though. It isn't identical. It's not cookie cutter. It's not something we have. It isn't just a religious form. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because your salvation is a relationship, it's uniquely yours. You must work it out. My role as pastor is to help you understand God and help you in that relationship. It's not the substitute for it. Amen? It's your relationship that you're to work out. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to develop my relationship with God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm responsible for my soul. Now, I'm responsible for yours, but in a different way. You're responsible for your soul. Ultimately, you're going to give account to God for yourself.
Amen?
Amen? Not what everybody else thinks. You're going to deal one-on-one with God. Amen? This is a serious matter. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Does that mean we're to be constantly afraid of God? No. You know what fear and trembling means? It's indicating this is a serious matter. We need to take this thing serious. Not just come to church, not just doing what the preacher says, not just going through the motions, but serious about working out our relationship with God. Serious about making sure we have a relationship with God.
Amen.
Amen? You know why? With the fear and trembling? Because my soul's at stake. Your soul's at stake. Heaven's a reality and a beautiful reality, but just as real as hell. An awful place of torment that's beyond our words to even describe. And we're heading to one or two, and it don't take long to get there. This life flies along. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's look at this for a minute. How are we then to work out our own salvation? Notice the context of the passage. This isn't just, I feel good. You know, I've heard all kinds of foolishness. People do all kinds of sin and said, "Well, I prayed and it was such a sweet feeling. God must have been in it." No, 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 no. How are we to work out our own salvation? Notice the context of the passage. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling." Do you notice the importance of obedience connected in this context? Listen to me. Now listen. A real experience of salvation, a real experience with God, a real relationship with God leads to obedience. Do you hear me? Every real relationship with God leads to obedience. Obedience to what that person knows. Amen? Not what everybody else knows, but what that person knows. Sin, and that's doing what you know displeases God or not doing what you believe God would have you to do. Sin always interrupts your relationship with God. Now, any of you that have lived for God for any length of time and you have a real relationship with God, you know that's a fact. It don't matter what theology is out there. You know your relationship with God's hindered when sin enters in. Come on, you know, right? We know that. Sin always interrupts. So obedience is necessary to maintain our relationship with God. Obedience shows our love for God, our desire to please God. It shows that pleasing God and showing our love for Him is more important than pleasing ourselves and doing what we want to do. John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." One of the ways we show our love for God is by a desire to please Him and doing what He would have us to do. Our desire ought to be to please God in everything. If we love Him above everything else, then our desire ought to be, the natural corresponding desire ought to be, we want to do what pleases Him in everything we do. That's part of how we judge what we do and what we don't do, right? Does it please God? Does it please God? Is God pleased with this? That's the measure, primary measure, by which we make choices in life. Does it please God? And I don't care who says it's okay. I don't care how many people have got together and said it's okay. If you in your heart do not believe it pleases God, you cannot engage in it without breaking your relationship with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? Well, how do we know what pleases God? By God's Word. He's not left us in the dark about what pleases Him, what doesn't please Him. God's Word's revealed to us. Knowing what pleases God involves knowing God, though, at the same time. allowing God's Spirit then to guide us in the study of His Word. There's a spirit of the law and the letter of the law, we're told. And the spirit of the law is the foundation that's under the law. And in short, the spirit of the law is always love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy brother as thyself. That's the spirit of the law. Amen? And holiness always relates to those two great commandments. Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. That means everything else that was commanded was founded in these two things. Amen? And that's where it begins. That's the light in which we're to interpret God's words. You know, there's all kinds of commandments in the Old Testament. And I've seen people get into all kinds of foolishness by dragging the letter around without the spirit of the law. You never really have God's word unless you've interpreted the letter of the law in light of the spirit of the law. Amen? Holiness always begins in our intentions and our motives. God's given commandments that relate to our motives, our attitudes, and our intentions just as much as He has in what we do and what we say. It's essential, listen to me, to stay in right fellowship with God, it is essential that we're right on the inside. And that means setting a check on our attitudes, checking a set on our motives. I don't care how much somebody may appear to be right, if their attitude and their motive is wrong, they are wrong. You hear me? Somebody can speak words and every word be true, but if their motive and their intent was to tear down and destroy, if their intent was outside of the bond of loving God and loving one another, they're wrong. They've done evil. Amen. Even though every word may be truth, they've done evil. Amen? You can't have ill motives and be right with God. Amen? Holiness is moral and spiritual purity. Pure both within and without. Pure in our motives and intentions as well as pure in our deeds. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're to be cleansed from the inside out in our spirit as well as our body. It's not good enough to just keep a list of do's and don'ts. You hear me? Never, I challenge you, in the Old Testament anywhere, God never accepted people going through a religious ceremony and keeping do's and don'ts. God always challenged the heart. Amen? God always did. Holiness always involves inward cleansing first. Holiness is from the inside out. You cannot dress yourself, make yourself holy from the outside in. Do you hear me? Holiness always begins within in the intentions and attitudes, and then it's lived out. It does come to the outside. Amen? It don't just stay on the inside. If we're right on the inside, we're going to be leading to right actions, right choices, and right words. But it begins there. Holiness is love lived out. I mean, that's what holiness is. It's love in action. You cannot be holy without love, nor can you have true love without being holy? Amen? They are not two different things. They are one and the same. They go hand in glove, one and the same. It's the motives and intentions that's demanded by love. Love for God and love that others that is truly holiness. There's such a thing as moral, ethical things, and it's different from being holy. Holiness involves moral and ethical, but just being moral and ethical does not make you holy. Amen? Some people can live moral and ethical and not be holy because they can do it from selfish intentions. To be holy requires a right heart. Amen? I said all that to say this. Read, listen, study with the intent to work out your own salvation. With the intent to make decisions as one that will answer before God. To make decisions that keep us in right relationship with God. With keep us in harmony with God. Amen. Amen? Amen? There's a seriousness about this life. It ain't good enough to do what I say or anybody else says. Amen? There ain't no safe path in that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now I have a calling. I am to help you make it to heaven. And I'm going to give an answer before God someday on how I did in that. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, your own soul is your own responsibility.
Amen.
You will give an answer one-on-one with God, and what I did and what anybody else did is not going to enter the equation with you and God. Amen? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling as one who will answer to God for our decisions. You know, we're called to make choices in life. How we're going to live, what we're going to allow, what we're going to do, what we're going to refrain from. Amen? God's Word provides a clear moral pathway with God's commandments. It begins with the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor. Expands into the Ten Commandments that give us definitive do's and don'ts. Amen? Not things that are left to question. But God's Word also then provides us with moral principles that we can apply to our life and our situation. Principles that help guide us in our life. You know, God's concerned with every aspect of my life.
Amen.
Honest. I pray. I like all kinds of things in life. I do. I want all kinds of things in life. I mean, I see advertisements or I see something for sale. They don't take long for me to get interested and want one of them. Amen? But you know what I've learned over time? I need to pray and ask God concerning those things. God's concerned about how I spend my money. Not just give my tithe and everything else is free game. God's concerned about what I do. He's concerned about the choices. It isn't just sin and not sin. God's concerned about every aspect of my life. God's concerned about what I do. Amen? God's, you know, in a good side, we want God to be concerned when our head hurts, when our arm hurts, when our back hurts. We want Him to be concerned about our car, about our job, about our house, right? We want God's concern in all those areas, but it goes both ways. We want God's approval in all those areas. Amen? If it's working right, we want to be doing what God has us to do. We want His blessing, but we also want His will. Not just in the what's sin and what ain't sin, but what would please you. What's best in this situation? I've been looking for a car for a while. I haven't felt at ease to buy one. Not because it'd be a sin to buy a car, but because I want what God wants. I don't know how to explain that to you, but there's a caution sometimes in going ahead with things. Amen? And I want what God wants. God's given us commandments. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. He said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Those things are not up for debate, not question, right? They're plain. They're not left to our discernment whether we want to or whether we feel clear in these areas. God's been plain in those areas. But He's also went beyond that and gave us principles to guide us in our life so that we might be able to make good decisions in all areas of life and work out our own salvation. I mean, and you do have, there's principles of God's Word you have to make some application of or they don't have any meaning, right? I mean, you talk about modest apparel, loving not the world, laying aside every weight, being good stewards, loving your neighbor as yourself, living in temperance, living in moderation. Those are all principles of God's Word, right? All of them. Well, they don't mean much unless you make an application of them. And it's in the choices of life that those kind of principles are to be considered as we make choices in life. Amen? We're to give diligent effort to live our lives in conformity with the principles God has revealed. And I'm going to tell you something. Our obedience to God in these areas is as important as the plain, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Right? Some people get a list of about 10 things that are no-nos and about 10 things you ought to do. And as long as they're in conformity with that list, everything else is fair game in their life. That's foolishness, folks. We're talking about a real relationship with the living God. Yeah. Amen? We're talking about a real... Hey, if you try that at home. There's 10 things off limit and 10 things you have to do and everything else is fair game. You'll find that soon does not work as well as people think it might in making people happy. You know, we think God is supposed to be pleased with that. I don't think it'd be very pleasing to people we say we love. Amen? We're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in these areas as well. There's all kinds of voices saying all kinds of things, and the vast majority of it is foolishness today. I'm telling you. On both sides of the equation, I hear people giving license to everything, and I hear people that would believe that if you had any fun in life, God would be against it. I'm going to tell you what. Most of what I hear on both sides of the fence is foolishness. It does have very little to do with the real knowledge of a living God. We're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and that means give serious consideration to the spiritual effect of these kinds of choices in our life. Amen? In your own life, what you allow, what you don't allow. I'm going to give you two rules of thumb that will help guide you greatly if you'll take it. And the first one is give God the benefit of the doubt. Give God the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? Not every question is clear cut. Sometimes there's confusion on both hands and we don't know what to do, and you pray God guides you in the best step. There's a lot of other times that we know, here's a safe path. If I choose to do this, I know God's pleased with me. I know God don't have a problem with this. But over here, we may not know for a certainty God's against it, but we also don't know for a certainty God's for it either. You know, it's one of those gray areas. And oftentimes, because there's a lot of other people in life we want to please besides God, there's a lot of other desires in life we have, right? I mean, come on. We do. But to make a choice that you're not sure pleases God, when you have an option that you are sure pleases God, shows that you love something, at least in that choice, more than you love God. Here's why. If you love God above everything else, you take the choice you sure pleases Him. To choose anything else means you have rated some other consideration higher than loving God. And that's sin. Amen. Some selfish desire. Amen. That means if you know a safe path, continue in it until God removes the doubt. Now, if you live that way, I can tell you this, you won't be throwing up a lot of roadblocks and a lot of doubts in your relationship with God. Because if you choose to do something you don't know pleases God, when you could have made a choice you knew pleased God, your mind will be plagued with doubts about whether you're right or wrong. Satan is a great accuser. He will take advantage of that opportunity. Not only that, if it really is sin, if you really did choose to please yourself instead of pleasing God, it throws a roadblock up in your relationship with God. And I know people who continue to charge on in their Christian life and ignore that. And if you ignore that long enough, your Christian life will become a sham. It'll just be a shell. There won't be any reality. You'll just be going through the form because you get used to living a Christian life without a real relationship with God. Amen? And a lot of people's overrun their conscience and got there. Give God the benefit of the doubt. Amen? Here's the rule. Don't engage in that which is doubtful. Live by this rule. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. I wear not a new pair of clothes every day. I mean, I don't. I don't wash them every time that I've had it on an hour. It don't go in the wash. There are some articles of clothes I'll pick up and see if it passes the sniff test. It should be okay for another day. There's other articles of clothes that don't get the benefit of the doubt on a sniff. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. Amen? If you learn to live that way, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. It'll save you from a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble in your Christian life. Amen? Hast thou faith? Romans 14:22. Have it of thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself and that which he alloweth. For he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's just saying what I just said. If you choose to do something you don't believe pleases God or not sure pleases God, when you had an opportunity to do what you were sure pleased God, you have brought condemnation on yourself. Let's go back to our text in closing here. 13th verse. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God working in us. You know, we're not in this alone. That it is a relationship with God. But you know what? God has given us all the help He can morally give us. One of the helps He's given us coming and living within us by His Spirit. God in us. And it's God working in us that creates both the desire to do His will and the strength to do His will. It's God working in us that gives us the want to and the power to make that choice. Therefore, cultivate an awareness of God's presence. Amen? And work it out your own salvation. Cultivate an awareness of God. Spend time with God. Talk to Him. Listen to His Spirit. It's a real relationship. Amen? It's a real living relationship. That's how you come to know His voice. It's how you come to know His will. By spending time with Him. It's that influence of God with us that gives us the desire to obey. If you neglect the things of God, and most of us have been through some cold time at one time or another in our experience, if you neglect the things of God for some length of time, you'll find your desire for them and your desire to please God fades. Amen? Don't let the fire go out. It's that burning relationship, His Spirit within us, that gives us the desire to obey. It's also that influence that gives us the strength to obey. Verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Obey, but don't do it grudgingly. Don't murmur and complain. I see so many Christians who seem to hate the way they live. They seem like they hate the life they're living. What kind of witness is that? Amen? Do it without murmuring. Do it because you want to do it. Amen? There's joy and happiness in knowing the Lord. As Christians, our very attitude toward life ought to be one of joy, right? The joy of knowing God, the joy of being forgiven, the joy of knowing His love, the joy of our hope of heaven. Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in the field. When a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has and buyeth that field. That ought to be our attitude toward knowing God. Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Without disputings. Without disputings. Live for God. Love God. Obey Him. But don't make everything a matter of controversy. Amen? Hey, if that's what pleases God, do it. I think so often people want to grab hold of somebody else and make them do it because they do not have a joy in what they found in the Lord, and they're afraid somebody else is going to get away with something that gives them a happy life. Hey, live for Him. Obey Him. Trust God enough to leave some other people in God's hands. Don't make everything a matter of controversy. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Blameless means not questionable in our living. Take the safe path. Harmless means without any guile, without any bad intentions, without any bad motives. And that's the opposite of the perverse and crooked nation around us. Perverse and crooked world around us. Be children of God. Be true examples. Shine as lights. Show the way. Amen? Take responsibility for your own soul. Some of you in some troubled waters where you've got decisions ahead to make. Take responsibility for your own soul. I didn't say quit church, reject everybody that goes to church. That's foolishness. God has so ordained that when His children come together the way it ought to be, it is a beautiful thing, it is a lovely thing, it is a strengthening thing. It's part of the way God's designed to help us make it home to heaven. Amen? But, ultimately, take responsibility for your own soul. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? No matter what everybody else does, no matter what everybody else says, you make sure you have your relationship with God whole, complete, alive, and vibrant. Amen? I didn't say don't listen to the preacher. I said listen with the intent of working out your own salvation. Read God's Word with the intent of working out your own salvation. Amen? Come together as God's people with the intent of working out your own salvation. We're in this together. To help each other make it home to heaven. Amen. That's what we're here for, is to help make it home to heaven. But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. May God help you. As you stand, we sing a verse of song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I know, Lord, the struggle to explain everything sometimes, but you fill in the blanks wherein I lack. I pray you'll help us to have a determination that we would maintain our walk with you no matter what. That we would live as ones who will give an account one day for ourselves in a real relationship before you. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name.